I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. We want to thank you for making us a part of your day. We're the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Jay King. I feel like it's been a while since we've been together, Jay.
It has been a while. Actually, my dad was complaining about that the other day. He's like, you and Corrales haven't been on the podcast lately. You guys have such great chemistry, blah, blah, blah. I miss you guys. So,
shout out to Jay's dad. I'm going to treat you with a whole lot more respect than Jay just did with the blah, blah, blah. He's right. He's right. We haven't been able to do our podcast a lot lately, just like the Celtics haven't been able to practice lately. But now here we are. The Celtics have practiced. We're together, and we can make everybody happy, everybody in the King family happy. Yeah, so we'll do that. And today we're brought to you by our good friends at Draft. Go to draft.com or download the Draft app to play daily fantasy unlike any other daily fantasy you're going to find anywhere else. We'll get you into a free game after your first deposit later in the show, and you can figure out how to take my money because I just keep giving it away. Although, breaking news, it looks like Sam Packard might actually make money tonight, but we'll get to that later.
Wow.
Shocking
news.
Own time.
Shocking news. We also have to talk about how Jaylen Brown wants to steal our name or is considering stealing our name.
Absolutely. No, you know what? Let's start with that.
Yeah.
Let's start because I think that's the most important part of the practice, that you apparently you just casually tweeted like, yeah, Jaylen Brown wants the Rain and Jays name, which I'm happy to share for a price.
Yeah, I mean, we would have to be well paid, well compensated. But yeah, I was talking to him at practice today, and one of the PR guys came over and started talking about the Rain and Jays. And Jaylen said that would be a better nickname than most of the stuff that people have talked about. And I told Jaylen that the very worst potential nickname for him and Jason Tatum was Peanut Butter and Jelly, which they came up with themselves. Just awful stuff.
Terrible. They did?
Yeah. Peanut Butter and Jelly, man.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, that's terrible.
But they realized right away it was bad, at least. They didn't consider it a good one, but that was bad. And then, yeah, I told him, you know, we might be willing to talk.
I'm sure we can figure out some level of compensation. It would require, you know, obviously monetary compensation, as well as they'd have to become regular guests on the show, you know, at some point.
Yeah.
You know, we'd have to have them both on. Like, if they're going to call themselves Rain and Jays, they got to be on the show, you know, for a regular, together, a regular thing. And then, you know.
Yeah, or they maybe could convince some of their teammates to do it. Jerry Rozier or Jal Horford.
Everybody's going to be a J.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, look, I'm open to it. At least somebody there likes nicknames that we come up with.
Rozier's anyway. in on Tito too. So
he is.
Everybody's coming around. Well, I'm not, Doug. I just had to get another Happy Gilmore reference.
You cannot resist Happy Gilmore references.
They're not at all. They're my favorites, man.
Oh my God. The Celtics practiced today, and you know, it's something that you know, normally you take it for granted. Like, all right, yeah, I gotta go to practice, and I'm sure you guys are there every day covering the team. It's like, okay, here's another practice. But this is their first practice in a month. And this is actually Marcus Morris's first practice with the Celtics. He's played in how many games? 8, 9 games for the Celtics. This is his first practice, where he can go and actually figure some stuff out. I know you and Chris Forsberg yesterday were talking about, you got one of the questions about, is it time to start somebody other than Marcus Morris? It's something that's come up on the podcast a little bit from time to time. We know the numbers with Marcus Morris in the starting lineup are not great. Is there any sense from anybody there, whether they said it without saying it or whatever, that the practice, just getting together, the starting unit together, to go through some things that may not be going right, that's going to help maybe change that or move it in the right direction? Because right now I'm thinking, I'm not ready to make any decisions until these guys get to work out the kinks on the practice floor. But I don't know if that's something that they're talking about or at least hinting at.
Yeah, I think they've kind of tried to use some shoot-arounds as practice-type scenarios. And they've had film sessions, obviously, where they go over things. But yeah, this was, I think, their first real full practice since October 23rd, which is crazy. Crazy. Like, that's more than a full month. So they kind of had like a short practice maybe a couple weeks ago. But this was, like you said, Morris's first real full practice. And that's a weird kind of side effect of the new schedule, which was meant to eliminate back-to-backs and save the players' bodies and all that. Now, because you don't have back-to-backs, you don't have like the scheduled day off after those, and there haven't been as many, like, at least the Celtics haven't had many two days in a row with in-between games of practices, days off, whatever. They just haven't had that very often. So yeah, it's been a weird stretch of games, and honestly, from a reporter's perspective, it's been tough because we don't have practices to talk to these guys. And then like some guys don't talk before games. So if you talk after games, you kind of are restricted to game questions. So it's been tough to actually cover the team. And I'm sure for that starting lineup, it's tough. And especially for Marcus Morris, who missed most of training camp. He missed most of the preseason. He missed the first 8 games of the season. There's a lot going on that he was sort of there for and got caught up with, but hasn't really had a chance to just kind of let it settle down and slow down for him. And obviously, things haven't gone great with him in the starting lineup, but maybe that is a factor.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that him just, look, when he's a good basketball player. He's not great. He's not an all-star, but he's good. And when you get into a situation like this where you haven't had an opportunity to play, you just fall back on the things you do well. I'm going to do what I do because that's all I can do. I can't figure out certain things. Like, you can talk and say, you got to do this, you got to do that, but without repetitions to practice the timing, it's like a dance. It's like a choreography. You can sit there and look and say, be here, be there, but you're not going to get it right unless you go and you practice the timing of, okay, I gotta move a half a tick sooner, or I've got to do this for this guy because he's got these skills and I got to adjust to those skills if we want to execute this part of the offense.
Speak for yourself, John. If I'm told a way to dance, that's how I'm going to dance.
Yeah, well, I do know that about you, Jay. Yeah. You're just a jazzy guy. When I look at you, I think, man, that guy can really move out there.
A lot of rhythm.
Oh my God, so much. All right, are we done with this part?
Yeah, we can move on.
So because of the side effect of all this, now there's an opportunity to ask people like everything about everything. Let's start with the simple thing, because we'll get to Kyrie. Kyrie's a whole other ball of wax. Al Horford had some nice things to say about Jason Tatum, which, talking about the young guys on this team and the young guys in the league, I think that, you know, he said basically like, oh, I'm fortunate that I'm a veteran now because there's a lot of good young players. It's almost like it sounded a little like the Larry Bird comment when he was with the Dream Team. And it's like, I'm glad I'm retiring because this is what's coming in. Holy shit. like when they were, when they got beat by the Chris Webber kind of practice squad. So, but he had some nice things to say about Jason Tatum, where he said, Tatum is 19, but wait till you see him in 2 years. He's way ahead of the game. We weren't expecting this from him. It gets excited when you think about it. So I guess it's the first sort of admission from anybody on the team that Tatum is beyond what anybody expected.
I don't know. I think they're pretty open about that, actually. That, I mean, obviously,
I haven't heard them say anything about, like, holy shit, this guy's, like, even better than we thought.
Yeah, I think most of the people in the organization are actually pretty open about that. Like, everyone thought Tatum was going to be good. He was the number three pick. They traded the number one overall pick to get him. And obviously they had high expectations for him. But I don't think anyone could have expected a rookie to be as advanced, as efficient as he's been, as complete as he's been. For a rookie, just the completeness of his game has been absurd. And, I mean, Al Horford, I think it was like the second or third practice, he said, yeah, this kid is the most ready rookie I've ever seen. And it's like, wait, Al, like, bro, you just met him. Like, let's calm down. Let's calm down. And now, you know, a couple months into the season, or a month into the season, Al's like, yeah, wait till you see that guy in 2 years. And Al doesn't really rave about people that often. Like, he's very complimentary of people. But I feel like the way he talks about Tatum, there's kind of a different glimmer in his eye. Like that kid could be special. And he definitely is on the Tatum train and has been on the Tatum train since day one. He just thinks that kid's really, really advanced. And that kid really is advanced.
He's really, really advanced. Yeah. He really is. Yeah. I'll plug my Boston.com piece one more time and go read that.
By the way,
Jason Tatum.
Yeah, go read that. Go read that. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop your plug.
No, I was just plugging that. I'm done with that part. By the way, what?
By the way, I haven't gotten a chance to discuss the Tatum attempted dunk on who was it the other night? He took off from like three counties outside the paint and and tried to dunk on Ish Smith. I was a big fan of that. Sometimes you like, you know, people who know what they can do and who stick within their limitations. And Jason Tatum is normally that type of guy that's very helpful for him. But when he saw Ish Smith under that bucket, man, I don't know what happened, but he just tried to fly on him. And I enjoyed
it. Ambitious.
Yeah.
That was ambitious. Yeah. He almost, well, If Ish was over like a little bit later, he might have, but it was ambitious. I can appreciate that too.
It was wild.
That whole thing.
And Tatum, we've talked about this a little bit, and it's kind of not related to the dunk itself, but also related to letting go of himself a little bit. He's got to be more aggressive in bench units. Got to be. Like, I don't care if he takes some shots that are out of character. I don't care if he forces the issue a little bit. The alternative is giving shots to guys like Marcus Smart and guys like Terry Rozier and other guys who are limited offensively. Like, at a certain point, the coaching staff has to, like, almost strangle Jason Tatum and be like, look, Rook, just go out there and do your own thing. Everybody else will bow to you in those bench units. Just go out there and get yours. And obviously it's going to be different when he's with Kyrie, when he's with Al Horford. But with those bench units, it's really important, I think, that Tatum gets more and more aggressive.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just that's going to be a progression.
Yeah.
Like he's 19 years old. He's played 22 games in the NBA. I don't think he's the type necessarily to come out and step on anybody's toes. So, and look, I think he's also trying to execute what the coach is trying to say. The coach is saying ball movement, ball movement, ball movement. And he's just going out there and trying to be like, yes, coach, and do it. So he'll grow into that okay, ball movement is great, but I'm better than anybody else on the floor right now, so I'm just going to go do my thing as well. You know, move the ball and probe, but when I get it back, it's time for me to create. So I'm not going to crush a 19-year-old kid for not doing that just yet, especially on this team that has won so much and that has such good veterans on the team. So he's just not going to take anything away from Kyrie or Al Horford, nor should he. And so that mentality is just kind of staying with him throughout the game. Eventually, I think he'll get more aggressive. Eventually, I think he'll be in a position where it's obvious he needs to get more aggressive. We're sitting here asking for it, which is great. It's a great thing to be, rather than telling him, like we tell Marcus Smart, hey, dude, you want to back off on the shooting a little bit? But I think eventually it'll work itself out. And I'm not gonna push the kid to do something he's not comfortable with right away.
So I think he's got to be pushed, man. He's got to do it, and he should be comfortable with it. He's more than capable.
He is capable. He is capable. But I don't know. I'm guessing. It feels like he's just kind of working in the team concept, and he's just not trying to do too much.
Yeah, and that's probably been the best part about him, or not the best part. The best part is that he's really long and athletic and skilled and mature and all of that. But one of the best parts is that he is willing to just find his offense in the flow. And people thought that might be an issue with him. Like, they thought he might be a one-on-one type scorer who would, you know, hold the ball and ISO. And that hasn't been the case at all, almost to the detriment of the team at times when he's with those bench units.
You missed an opportunity to do your whole Happy Gilmore flow quote.
You know what? I'm trying to keep it to one Happy Gilmore reference per show, because there was one listener out there when I gave a lot in one show. He kind of lit into me.
Did not appreciate it.
Yeah,
not appreciate it.
Whoever it was, I don't remember who it was, but I'm here for you. I'm holding back for you.
You're trying to get better. You're trying to improve.
Yeah.
We'll just switch to a Rounders quote or something.
I know those too, man.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So the whole conversation about Tatum was part of a greater conversation about youth in the NBA, especially when it comes to the Philadelphia 76ers, who happen to be our next opponent. And now I will just say that both Sam Jam Packard and I each had 76ers in our draft this evening, and it seems to be paying off for good old Sam Packard. Not paying off. Well, it paid off for me, but the rest of my team kind of sucked. Oh, well, that's the way it goes when you're playing daily fantasy sports. And did you know that your chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? It's true. It's a statistic that I'm reading to you, so it's true. Go to Draft, because that's my favorite fantasy site. I'm playing all the time, mostly with Sam, to challenge you guys. And no more getting crushed by the pros, because clearly Sam and I are not pros at this. It's not just me. More than a million people have already downloaded Draft to play in a real live NBA draft now. Be done in under 5 minutes, get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling up every second, and you can join one whenever you want. All new players get free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. You have to use the promo code LOCELTICS. All right? Your real money draft for free after you make your first deposit by using my promo code, our promo code, LOCELTICS. And it gets better, because Draft is so sure that you will love it, they're even offering Locked On Celtics listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. So just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com. Come play for free right now with the promo code LOCELTICS. Now, Sam had Ben Simmons. And Simmons did tonight, geez, 31 points, 18 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I had Embiid, who is not playing against the Celtics. So the Celtics dodge a bullet with Embiid. He had 25, 14, 4 assists, a steal, 4 blocks. But I also had like Spencer Dinwiddie on my team, because it just ran out of guards. And that's not going to get you a whole lot. Sam Packard is like currently in third. No, I don't know. He might not win any money today either. So we're both continuing to just give away cash, hemorrhaging cash on the draft app. We tried. What are you gonna do?
You guys need to step it up. I might need to come flying in and just show you guys how it's done.
Yes, please come fly in, Jay. I can't wait for you to fly in. So there's three of us giving our listeners money when they're trying to play this daily fantasy. I get screwed. I ended up with the fourth pick, and it just I don't know. My last pick was Spencer Dinwiddie. What am I gonna do? It's the way it goes.
Dinwiddie's had a good year, man.
He's had a great year. I mean, look, I'm not gonna shit on Dinwiddie necessarily. He had a nice game.
Out here blaming it on everybody else.
Well, I can't go play.
Blaming it on everybody else. Who was available at the number four pick? Was Simmons still available?
No. Well, I had the fourth pick and I took Embiid. So I chose I tend to go with, because the high payout centers are few and far between. So I tend to go with either like if DeMarcus Cousins or Embiid or Porzingis is listed as a power forward.
Or Tice.
Yeah, Tice. Whenever Tice is still on the board, you got to take him. But yeah, no, I tend to go with the centers first because it's just if you can get that big production there, because the drop off is very big. And I just hope that there's a guard out there that has a big game and that can carry me. Like I did okay. Like I thought Reggie Jackson was a nice pickup. He had 23, 5 assists, couple of steals. He had a nice night for me, but after that, and I had Otto Porter. Really, honestly, where I lost it was Otto Porter had a shitty night. And that's what are you going to do? Sometimes good, decent players have shitty nights. Well, whatever. So, but Embiid did all right. He's not playing. Simmons did great. He is playing. And that brings us to the process portion of the podcast. These guys talked a lot about this, so I'll let you kind of get to what they were talking about, and I'm going to try like hell to contain myself.
Well, it just sounds like Kyrie and Al Horford are both process trusters. They both talked about how I think Kyrie called the process unconventional, and Al Horford said it's not the way you want to go about building your team, but they both agreed a lot of talent on the 76ers. So they both agreed they trust the process, man.
They do trust the process. I can't say anything about getting Simmons and getting Embiid. Like those two guys are studs, and if they can stay healthy, which so far they are, and they're trying like hell to keep Embiid healthy, which is why he's not playing. That's great. That's why you do what Hinkie did, but they're also trying to trade Okafor, which was part of what Hinkie did. And they already traded Carter Williams, which was part of what Hinkie did.
You're such a hater.
No, I
you're a process hater.
Yes. Okay. I hate what Hinkie did. Now I get what he did. Like if he only did half of it.
This is maybe your favorite topic to rant about. You cannot contain yourself when the 76ers come up.
I cannot. Because they have been so terrible for so long that I just don't like it. The league had to step in. The league was so embarrassed and so the product was so bad in Philadelphia that the league had to step in and say, we gotta stop this. It was bad for business. It was bad for the other partners in the league to have Philly be that bad for that long. And people will look at the positive results, which are great. Simmons and Embiid are great. And they have the potential to be long-time, multiple-time all-star players. Fine. But they also missed on a few draft picks and were bad for so long that it just like I said, it was bad for the league. It was the league was so they felt the need to change what was going on in Philly. They had to step in and say this is not working for us. I don't know, man. I you can justify it with Embiid and Simmons. Fine. I get it, but let's not pretend that Sam Hinkie did no wrong. I saw tweets today about making him the 2018 Executive of the Year. He screwed up plenty. And if the league, I actually wish the league had left him there because I wanted to see it through. I want to see how he would have screwed it up further because I don't know that they would still be as good as they are now. You think he would have given J.J. Redick money? No. No way.
I think he might have, man. I think he might have.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it was embarrassingly bad. And fine, it worked out for those couple of players. And we have to wait and see if they can stay healthy enough. And if this continues, then whatever. Maybe I'm an asshole. But I think from a basketball perspective, I just hate how it went down. And there are better ways to do what they did, like what the Celtics did. The Celtics actually didn't have to tank. The Celtics found the willing to trade partners. They got a great deal.
To be fair, they had some of the greatest luck in the history of the NBA when Brooklyn gave them what they did and then totally fell apart.
But that's not luck.
That was luck. That part of it was absolutely luck.
How is it luck? How's it look? Danny Ainge took advantage of a situation where Brooklyn was in a win now. Like
No. It was going to be a good trade regardless. But then Brooklyn fell apart as much as any organization could fall apart.
Oh, sure. I mean,
and that was lucky.
There was some luck involved in that. Yes. Sure, there was some luck involved there. There's also reading of the marketplace and to say, look, these guys are good. And I remember talking about this when they made the trade. Yeah, this is a good trade for Brooklyn. You know, it could be good. They could do well. But if it doesn't go well in 2 or 3 years, there are a bunch of old guys there, and it could all fall apart pretty quickly. So if I was thinking that, there's no doubt Danny Ainge was thinking that. So it wasn't like unprecedented. It's not like the Warriors fell apart. Brooklyn was built on a tenuous foundation, and it just didn't work at all. So, and look, Ainge flipped a lot of things. He worked and did a lot of things to bring Isaiah Thomas in and then trade Isaiah Thomas away and pick up these picks here and there with everything he still has. Like, look at the Memphis pick all of a sudden looks great. That he has a Lakers pick that may convey, or the Kings pick. He's got the Clippers pick. Like, he still has things that are coming. So I guess that from a player fan perspective, the Philly thing seems to be kind of finally working out, but it didn't have to be that bad for that long. And it's just embarrassing to me. I think the way the Celtics did it is just much cleaner. I just like the way it worked out much better. I think they're in a better position. They rebuilt pretty quickly. I don't know. I'm wearing myself up now. I'm just.
Let's move on, man.
I can't. We can't ever talk about the goddamn process on this because it takes me 20 minutes just to get through the topic.
Yeah. Not a process guy.
I'm not a process guy. Let me tell you about the Locked On Patriots podcast for a moment. Go give the Locked On Patriots podcast to listen with Mark Schofield. He has Norma Princiotti on. She's a Boston Globe beat reporter who did a piece on Nate Solder and his family. Solder's young son has a rare kidney cancer. It's a great story, and she's on the podcast. So it's a must listen if you're a Patriots fan or football fan. This is a great story to listen to, a great podcast to listen to. But if you're a Patriots fan, you should listen to the Locked On Patriots podcast. Subscribe to them where you found us. And if you are not a Patriots fan, but you are a football fan and you want to follow your own team, there's a Locked On podcast for you. Go search whatever your favorite team is, Locked On, whatever your favorite team is, wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to that. You'll get the same daily information like you get from us. So go check them out. Okay. Kyrie Irving spoke today and said many, many fun things. And he also had some fun. I saw the video you posted afterwards of him playing one-on-one with Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, Marcus Smart. That was pretty funny. Get the fuck out of here.
That was really great. He just, Marcus Smart came swooping in like, oh, my turn. He's like, nope, score on you. Get the fuck out of here. Throw the ball full court. That was great.
Yeah, I was a big fan of that.
So why don't we, I'll let you do the honors of the quote of the day from Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, which was, man, comparison's a thief of joy, which was a Theodore Roosevelt quote, I believe, that Kyrie brought out today when he was asked if he would have made some of the same passes last year or before that. So he doesn't like comparisons. Comparisons are the thief of joy.
The thief of joy, of course.
Kyrie needs a book of quotations, man. Like just all of his best quotes in a book. I don't think they need explanations, because explanationless is a lot better. Like, just things he says and leave them open ended and just take them as you take them. I need more Kyrie quotations. The guy is a one of a kind philosopher. And
oh my God.
I actually didn't catch that one when he was saying it in person. Like, he just kind of slipped it in there. And then I was listening back later and I was like, man, Kyrie dropped a gem today.
My favorite thing about Kyrie when he talks, like, a couple weekends ago, he had the quote about Brad being like the driving instructor.
Yep.
And so I copied that quote and I made a little Photoshop of Brad and Kyrie, like, in a car, like, drive, just because I wanted to put something funny on Twitter. So I posted it and I got a bunch of replies back that were simply, I don't even know if that's a real or fake Kyrie quote. Like, that to me is the best part about all of this, is that if you just put some of these quotes out there, there are people who are like, did he actually say that? Or
yeah,
are you making fun of how he talks? He's just out there, man. He is on a different level right now. I don't ever remember him being like this existential.
He brought out a Theodore Roosevelt quote today. My man, Teddy Roos.
Who's dropping Teddy Roosevelt quotes in the NBA?
Kyrie,
aside from,
man,
him?
Just Kyrie. Actually, someone tweeted me, I don't know if this is true, that LeBron James dropped a Teddy Roosevelt quote recently. So
I totally missed that.
Maybe the Cavs were like big Teddy Roosevelt fans last year.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Speaking of LeBron, another great moment from Kyrie was when they said, hey, Kyrie, LeBron got ejected. He's like, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was kind of a cheap shot by the reporter to even bring that up, because Kyrie has made it very clear, very, very clear, that he doesn't want to talk about LeBron James, that he doesn't really care what's going on with LeBron James and the Cavaliers this season. And if to bring that up, like, there's nothing Kyrie could have said of substance that mattered in that situation. The only possible thing he could have done is what happened. The only possible thing he could have done to make it interesting is what happened, which was he was clearly frustrated with the question. It was like, okay, like, all right, sweet. LeBron got ejected. Like, let's talk about something else, guys.
he just sat there and was like, uh-huh. And they're like, reaction. He's like, oh, you're asking me about it? He's like, and then he still thought about it somewhere. He's like, yeah, tough calls. That's it.
He handled it okay, I thought. I thought he handled it pretty well.
For everything that, you know, all of the ways that it could have gone, he could have said, oh, yeah, I heard about it, but I didn't see it, so I can't comment. I guess that's the only thing he could have said that would have just deflected it. But, you know, now it becomes people are tweeting about it. It's going to be like it's funny, and he's going to get reaction for. There's nothing he can say. Anything he says or reacts, however, when it comes to LeBron, people are going to be paying attention.
Yeah. It is very clear, though, that he doesn't want to be asked about LeBron.
It is very clear. You can see it on his face.
Very clear.
He's just, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
LeBron's a thief of joy, man.
He is. We are not thieves of joy, though.
We
bring you joy.
We are bestowers of joy.
That's what we are, bestowers of joy here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, because we're here Monday through Friday. We're here for you 5 days a week. Why wouldn't we be bringing joy 5 days a week? So subscribe to us if you are not a subscriber. If this is your first time listening, hey, welcome. Finally, glad to have you aboard. So go subscribe and listen to us every day. If you are a regular listener, 5 stars, please. 5 stars would be great, and a good review, and spread the word. Tell your friends, tell everybody about this podcast. Talk about things that we've talked about in this podcast. Make yourself sound smarter by repeating the things that we say at the water cooler. And then people will be like, wow, how do you know so much about basketball? You say, I listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Very simple. So go do that and listen to us. We're the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we're part of the Locked On podcast network.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.